We are Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, 33a. We are 6-7 lines down. Still dealing with the repercussions of Reish Lakish's comment. Reish Lakish had said that when you shecht the kana, when you shecht the trachea, at that point the lung is no longer a part of the body, since the lung depends on the trachea, suspended by it, and therefore. Despite the fact that the lung is connected to other parts of the body, it's not as though the lung is trachea, is only from the trachea. Nonetheless, because that's the siman, once you shecht that siman, of the simanim, that's the one that represents the trachea, so to speak. Therefore, even if a trepha occurs within the trachea itself, within the lung itself, the lung gets punctured, nonetheless, the animal is kshera. And it's not just the trachea, as we see from the discussion now. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Shema mina mid Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Based on Reish Lakish, we learn the following. Mizamnin Yisrael al b'nei me'ayim, ve'ein mizamnin ovdei kochavim al b'nei me'ayim. You can only invite Jews to eat from the innards of animals that you shecht, but a non-Jew would actually not be allowed to eat from the innards of an animal you shecht. Now, it's important to understand going in that there are three potentially surim involved. One isser is, don't eat a non-shechted animal. That's what we call a nevela. And that's Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah in Gimel. Fine. Second, don't eat Avrim in Hachai. Right? Don't eat something that was separated from an animal while it was still alive. That applies for Jews. That applies for Bnei Noach also. And that's also in Ayin Gimel. However, there's a third mitzvah of don't eat before the animal is dead. Even if you find a way to separate meat, to separate something from an animal in such a way that it doesn't violate Avrim and Hachai, as we'll see in a moment, nonetheless, you have a separate mitzvah of don't eat before the animal passes away. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel, from the Pasuk of Lo Sochlu al Hadam. That's how we learn it. It's brought in the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches. And that's its own separate halacha. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that for a non-Jew, the innards of an animal, every animal that you shecht, this is not random, any animal that you shecht, the innards of the animal are going to be, for lack of a better term, non-kosher. Kashus for Bnei Noach. Rashi explains exactly what the logic is. If you see Rashi, Midrash Lakish. Midrash Lakish to Amar, Kemen Shnechtach Kana, Havareya Kemancha Bedikula. Since we say that once you cut the trachea, the lung is considered to be sitting in a basket, it's severed from the animal. Shmamina Ein Mizanin Ovekochavim Albane Me'ayim and Mishumraya. That teaches me that you can't invite a non-Jew to eat from the innards of the animal because of this lung. Dahavi Kemi, and by the way, other Rishonim extended to other parts that were also severed once the trachea is severed. But Da'avi Kemisha Hutsia Min HaBehema Ba'oda Mefarcheses. We view this as though it had been separated from the animal, removed from the animal, while the animal was still Mefarches, while it was still shuddering or doing whatever movements it does before it's considered to have fully passed away. Ve'ove Kochavim Lav B'Shchita Tali Heter Achila Didei. For the Ove Kochavim, Shchita isn't what permits the animal, it's death that permits the animal. The Shchita only works for us. So the lung is kosher for us because it's a shechted lung. But for the non Jew, it's not shechted. Shalom huskar shechita etzlo. The Torah never mentioned shechita for non-Jews. The Eber Menachai nes are lohen, and the Eber Menachai is also for them. The Ein Yotz alahen midei Eber Menachai ad she tamus. It's not going to end the status of Eber Menachai until the animal dies, and the animal has to die before you separate it, not after you separate it. Aval Yisrael yatsa midei Eber Menachai al yidei shechita sa. But for the Jew, it's no longer Eber Menachai because you shechted it. That's the core idea. So what's going on here is a statement of Rish Lakish, if you believe that cutting the trachea actually does separate the lung, not just physically, but halachically, then the lung is not kosher for a non-Jew, because for a non-Jew, it's Avram and Achai, it was separated while the animal was still alive. Let's see it in the Gemara. My time, why? Yisrael, debeshchita talia milsa, kevendika shchita mahal yisa ishtarilahu. For the Jew, everything is dependent on shchita. So once there's shchita, good, it becomes permitted. Ovdei kochavim debenechira sagilahu, but for the non-Jew, for whom killing the animal in any way, shape, or form, nechira being one of them, but that's always the term we use for killing it without shechting it. It's stabbing it, it's tearing it open, however you take nechira, ubemisa talia milsa, it just depends on the death of the animal, hani gave him an achai damusa, the b'nei me'ayim, in particular the lung, but not only, is like gave him an achai, Yaakov, what?
That Avramina Hai pertains to inner organs as well as outer organs?
Correct. And in the event... And in the event that you wouldn't want to call it an Aver, strictly speaking, you'd still have the category of Basar Min HaChai, flesh from a living animal, so it wouldn't matter. But yes, it extends to inner organs as well. So the as a result of this, look at the following line. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Hava Yisivna Kameh de Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. I was sitting and learning in front of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Uboi de Emale, and I wanted to challenge him on this, and I wanted to ask him, Mi ikamidi del Yisrael Shari Ula the Kochavim Asr. Can you really fathom such a thing? That there's something which is Asr for a non-Jew, but for a Jew is mutter, but a Jew would be allowed to eat it. That's what you're telling me. There's such a thing as an entity which is kosher for Jews, non-kosher for non-Jews. Velo amrile. But I didn't say it to him. Damino hatay makamar, because I said to myself, you know what? He presented a logical argument. It's not as though he just, you know, made this statement at random. He explained the logic, and the logic works. So therefore, I didn't discuss it with him. It's very interesting that we've seen now, between yesterday and today, two cases in which Amoraim did not feel that they were ready to ask a certain question. Rav didn't ask Rabbi Chiya because he felt I wasn't comfortable with Rabbi Chiya at that point, so I didn't ask him. And now here we have this, you know what? I had a good question, but the truth is he presented his logic, so what am I going to bother the Rebbe for? He already told me why he thinks what he thinks. Just interesting to see these two pieces side by side. The Tanya, however, I have a brisa that disagrees with this idea. Tanya Delok Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, we're about a third of the way down. Harotze lechol mi behema kodem shetetze nafsha. If you wish to eat from an animal before the animal dies, Rashi explains the reason why he says, I wish, you know, someone who wishes to, as opposed to just, this is the way it's kosher, is because the Gemara is going to say this is actually therapeutic. This is actually considered to be healthy meat. If you want to eat from the animal, and you want to eat a piece from the animal that was taken before the animal died, you cut a piece of the meat, an olive-sized amount is just a random, it doesn't matter for our purposes, from the base hashchita, from the spot of the neck where you shechted it, you salt it really well, you rinse it really well as well, because of concerns for the dam, that concern is not alleviated by any of the issues here. The umamtin lachetetzei nafsha. Then you wait for the nefesh neshama matel to leave the body of the animal, and that's to solve the third issue that we mentioned of lo sochlo al hadam, not to eat while the animal is still alive. Ve'ochlo, and then you can eat it. And echad oved kochavim ve'echad yisrael mutarin bo. And it says that everybody would be fine with it. The yisrael is fine. The yisrael is fine because he did shechita before he separated this from the base hashchita, right? And therefore, the shechita requirement is not called Eiver Min HaChai, because the animal's already shechted, and now you just have to wait for the animal to die. Whereas for the non-Jew, I would have expected, according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that doesn't work. Because Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would say, shechita is irrelevant for the non-Jew. Therefore, this is Baser Min HaChai. This is meat taken from a live animal. The Braisa says, I don't care. The Braisa says, shechita is death. Effectively, what we're doing is we're redefining death as far as the laws of Eiver Min HaChai, and saying not only is death shechita as far as Jews are concerned, but death is shechita even for non-Jews, even though shechita is irrelevant for them. That's the idea. This discussion of mi'ika midi, is there ever anything that's aser for Jews and mutter for non-Jews, also comes up regarding Eishes Yifas Toar in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tosfos here refers you to the sugya there, because they ask the same question, and they say, well, the laws of kibush, of conquest, don't apply for non-Jews the way they apply for Jews, and therefore the laws are different there, and some want to make that connection back to here and say, well, the laws are shechita. It's a parallel point. There's no shechita for non-Jews, therefore it's not that something is aser for us, and mutter for them, it's that we're operating in entirely different categories. Shechita doesn't mean anything for them. So yes, in the end, physical result is, this piece of meat is mutter for us and aser for them, but it's because of a legal argument. The legal categories make sense that way. We're just working with definitions of death that vary for them and for us. You can find a similar argument in the discussion about abortion with Jews and non-Jews, and Shafiq Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph, Tosfos doesn't raise this here, but it's a similar point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph suggests that there are Yisurim for non-Jews in that regard that don't apply for Jews, because the mitzvah for B'nai Noach may vary from the mitzvah for us.
So what's considered death for the animal?
So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says exsanguination, I guess, is probably the... Well, no, but it's not really that. That's not true. He'll say cardiopulmonary. Rav Tendler will say neural. Neurological. Whereas the Braisa here will say, no, the death for it is shchita, just like for the Jew. No, one siman is... It's not that we're calling one siman death. It's that we're saying that the act of shechita in which you're currently engaged is death. Because you can't have shechita without... You know, one siman has to be cut before the other, unless you're Rabbi Yossi and Metzamtzim. Yeah.
Yeah. That make it a trait.
Right. Correct. So let's finish the next several lines, because there's a point I want to make sure to add here. Messiah Lele Rav Idi Bar Avin. This supports Rav Idi Bar Avin. The Amr Rav Idi Bar Avin, Amr Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Idi Bar Avin said, citing Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan, Harotze Sheyavri, Chotech Kezayis Basar Mibesh Shchitas Shabahema. You want something healthy? This is what you should do. Take the Kezayis of meat from the Besa Shchita, the point in the neck where you do the Shchita of the animal. Umocho Yafa Yafa, Umadicho Yafa Yafa. You salt it well, you soak it well. Umamtin Lodge, it's really rinsing, not soaking. Umamtin Lodge, you take Nafsha, and you wait for the animal to die to satisfy this consideration of losochu al adam, echad over kochavim, ve'echad yisrael mutarin bo, and whether Jew or non-Jew is allowed to do it. So it sounds like this Braisa is saying, and it's supported now by the latter comment of the Amoraim, that this is mutter to the non-Jew. So on what basis did it become mutter? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's argument was a valid argument. Shechita is not relevant for him. So Tosfos says that it's because of the mi'ika midi argument. It's because it can't be that this is mutter for us and aser for them. There's no such thing. So the result is not going to be, okay, therefore it's aser for Jews, which I would have assumed. We had this discussion also in Yevamos, no? About the permission of a Jew to a sibling or to a cousin or whatever, and it came up in the Arayos issues also. You know what it was? It was the non-Jew was usher to his sibling before he converted. But if he converts, now he's mutter to his sibling. And we said, well, that can't be. So he has to be usher to his sibling even after Gerus. So I would have assumed the same thing would apply here. I would have assumed that you would say that the meat was off limits for non-Jews? Okay, so it'll be off limits for Jews also. But that's not the way Tosus reads it. Tosus says no. So we say, okay, fine, so it's mutter from the non-Jew. Rav Yosef Engel has a very interesting piece on this. Remember the machlokas on Vayisro Tzitzua Banim Bekir Bach by Yaakov and Esav within Rivka? So the question of what does Vayisro Tzitzu mean? So there are two different views there. One view is that they're each trying to kill the other. Zer Ratz Achar Zer Lahargo. Yaakov is fighting with Esav. But there's another view in there in the Braisa, which is Reish Lakish's view, which says Zemavatal Tzivuyo Shel Zeh Zemavatal Tzivuyo Shel Zeh, that each one didn't obey the mitzvos of the other. And a classic question is, what do you mean? What mitzvos does Esav have that Yaakov doesn't have? So Reish Lakish here in our discussion does not accept mi'igamidi. He believes that there could be a mitzvah for a non-Jew that a Jew doesn't have. The mitzvah of not eating this innard. And Reish Lakish is the one in that discussion about Vayisro Tzua Banim Bekir Ba, who says, Zemavatal Tzivu Yoshel Zev, Zemavatal Tzivu Yoshel Zev. Rabbi Yosef Engel pointed this out in his Tiferes Yosef, that it's consistent. He believed that there are mitzvahs for non-Jews that don't apply for Jews, and that's what's going on in the womb, this strange encounter between Yaakov and Esav. That's all within Tosfos.
The phrase, what's that?
That you have to wait for the animal to die because of the concern for eating from the animal while it's still alive, even if it's not Eivor Min HaChai. That's that third mitzvah that I mentioned.
Yeah, but is that the neural death that we're talking about, kicking, or is that talking about?
Right, so it depends on your definition, how you define death.
That's the definition for the goy.
For the Jew also, though, for this purpose.
It'll apply just
for this purpose, not for Eivor Min HaChai purposes, but for the purpose of losochu al adam. Apparently, yes, that would be a concern. That's a good point. It would be a concern for us also.
Why wouldn't you just simply say that Nechira takes the part of Shechita for...
You can. You can, but at what point does Nechira complete?
Die by waving a wand at it.
Right. It's true, but Nechira... When is Nechira completed? For Shechita, I know. You cut Simanim. But Nechira, I don't have any point. So that's what Misa is. Misa is the completion of Nechira. That's effectively, especially because Nechira includes such a broad set of possibilities. The Ran says the reason it works for non-Jews, the reason that this meat is mutter for non-Jews is not mi'ika midi. The Ran says it's because Shechita works for us, therefore Shechita works for them. In other words, when Hashem set up that you're supposed to shecht animals in order for them to be kosher, Shechita becomes the definition of death for all, not just for Jews. The Rambam here in Hilchos Malachim says, in fact, that it's aser for Bnei Noach. That's the Rambam's Shita. He says, aser for Bnei Noach. And the Kesef Mishnah, the Rashba, and the Shach, I gave you references there on the Shita, are all very surprised. The Rashash suggests maybe that's only because maybe it's about where the Bnei Noach did the Shita. Okay. Let's go weiter. Mishnah says, Hashochet behema chaya v'of v'lo yatze mehen adam. If you shecht a behema, a chaya, or an oaf, note all the categories, because that's going to matter. And they don't bleed. And based on the Gemara itself, it's going to sound like you did this on purpose. In other words, it's not that you can shecht an animal without it bleeding. But the point is, you clamped things off, you worked it out so that it actually did not bleed. Ksherim, so it's still a kasher shechita. V'ne'echalin bi'adayim misawavos. You could eat the meat with hands that are tameh. Misawavah, remember, is the Aramaic for tameh. Lefi shalo hukshru badam. Because there was no hakshara kabal tumah. Remember that food becomes able to receive tumah if it's exposed to one of the seven liquids. Yad shachad dam, correct? And blood is one of them. So without any hakshara kabal tumah, it won't, then you could eat it even when your hands are tameh. Note that potentially you're going to wash it if you're doing hadacha. When you do your malicha, you wash it. So they discuss that. The Rishonim do point that out. Rabbi Shimon Omer hukshru b'shchita. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the very act of shchita makes it able to become tamei. That has designated it as food, just like the reason why, if you can call it a reason why, the seven liquids make it able to receive tumah is because they make it into food. Shchita makes it into food, even if there is no blood involved. Okay, the Gemara now that we're going to see here, and it's going to take us all the way on to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, is going to have one question, which is taima de lo yatze mehen dam. The implication is that you could eat this with your hands being tameh only because there was no blood, and therefore it wasn't hukshar kabal tuma. Ha yatze mehen dam, but assuming the head animal had bled, eina cholin biyadai misawavos. Now you couldn't eat it with tameh hands, and I don't understand why. Am I? Why? Yadayim shnios hein. Hands are only second level tuma. We're assuming here that we're, and we may challenge this, but we're assuming you're talking about stam hands, not where a person touched a mace, but where just a person is going about his daily business, and we have a gzeirah derabanan that his hands are automatically shniyos. That's why you wash your hands before truma and the whole bit. And vein shenios a shlishi b'chulin. Assuming you're talking about non-karbanos, and we'll see why I'd make that assumption momentarily, but assuming you're talking about chulin, second-level hands don't make chulin into third-level. Generally, third-level applies only for truma and kachim. Remember the rule, ordinarily, we're going to challenge this, but the rule ordinarily is, chulin can only become a sheni, truma can even be disqualified as a shlishi, and karban can even be disqualified as a revi, as a fourth-level. But ordinarily, you touch, if this is chulin, it's not as a gemara, but if this is chulin, and I touch it with shneos, the gemara doesn't gain any tumah, the gemara doesn't become disqualified for anything, it's not communicated. So therefore, I should be able to eat any meat with hands that have not been washed. That's the Gemara's challenge. We are going to see, God willing, six answers for this question, and there's a seventh answer that you'll have to wait for Avail tomorrow, because that's all on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph from our Ula. So we'll get through six, God willing. The Gemara's first approach, all outlined there on the sheet. Umimai de b'chulin askinon. How do you know that you're talking about chulin? What? Maybe the first answer essentially is, maybe this is kachim, and that's why you couldn't eat it unless there is no blood involved. So the Gemara is going to smash this answer. First of all, diktani chaya. One of the items you listed in the Mishnah was a chaya. There are no kachim that are chayos. That's for dilu kachim, chaya b'kachim mi'ikav. Was kachim, there is no such thing as a chaya, that's a carbon. Visu, and further, I b'kachim, if you meant kachim, kilo yatza me'en dam kshera, could it be okay without dam? Who atzol adam utzarech? You're never going to end up eating kachim if it didn't bleed, because you needed the blood for zrikas hadam. That's one of the points that makes me think that this was intentional, that you actually prevented it from a bleeding. Because the point here is, you couldn't have engineered this without dam. You need the dam, as Rashi notes. That's second. Third reason why this is no good, this couldn't be, is Vesui Bakachim ki yatsame and dam mi makshir. Blood from kachim would not have been makshir it anyway. Va'amar b'chibar ava, amar b'yochanan mi nayin l'dam kachim she'eno makshir. How do you know that blood from karbanos is not makshir l'kabal tumah? Does it make them able to receive tumah? Shenera, as the pasuk says, ala arit tishpachenu kamayim. You spill it out like water. This is not by the kachim. Dam shenishpach kamayim makshir. Blood which is spilled like water, that's the blood that we machshir l'kabal tumah. She'eno nishpach kamayim eino makshir. But blood for the karban you have to catch, and therefore it's not machshir l'kabal tumah. Visu, and further, fourth reason why we reject this approach, iba kachim ki lo yatsa mehem dam lo miskashri. If it was kachim, then whether dam escaped or not wouldn't be relevant, because it's going to be machshir l'kabal tumah. It will be ready to receive tumah even without blood, because liskashri b'chibas hakodesh t'kayim alon chibas hakodesh machshart. And you remember this from Sachem. The rule is that your love for the carbon, the fact that we have affection for the carbon, automatically renders it as food, and therefore it's hokshu l'kabal tumah. So if we have four reasons why you can't tell me we're dealing with kachim, so the next answers that we're going to give all have to be that this is chulin. So the first answer is soundly rejected. So we give our second approach, again, to answer the question of, why am I concerned about eating meat with hands that are shneos? Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Rabbi Nachman says, citing Rabba Baravua, Hacha bechulin shalakachan bekesef meiser askinan. It's talking about where you had meiser sheni money, and you use the meiser sheni money to purchase the chulin, so the chulin are now meiser sheni. Udalo Rabbi Meir, and against the view of Rabbi Meir, this not, as the Mishnah says, Kol haton bias mayim midivrei sofrim mitameis hakodesh uposalas hatruma. One who would require immersion in a mikvah rabbinically, but not biblically. Biblically is tahor, like the hands here that are shneos midirabanan. Those are mitamei kachim, and they disqualify truma. Umutter bechulin ubemaiser, but they don't affect chulin. They don't affect maiser sheni. Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Meir says you can eat Meiser Sheni with hands that are Shnios de Rabbanan. However, v'chachamim osrin b'meiser, the Chachamim say not so fast for Meiser Sheni. So my second answer is that it's because this is chulin that you purchased, meat that you purchased as Meiser Sheni, and therefore you couldn't eat it with hands that were Shnios, assuming it was ready to receive Tumah. That's my second approach. However, Maskev Lor of Simi Barashi, Simi Barashi says, Mimai, on what basis do you say that? That Rabbanan would be okay with us? Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan alei Rabbi Meir, ela b'achilas Meiser. The Rabbanan only said that if you have rabbinic tumah, you can't have the Meiser Sheni if the person who is eating is the person who is Tameh. There is no debate if the person who touches the Meiser Sheni is Tameh. Then everybody agrees that it's fine. It's only eating it when you're Tameh. It's eating Chulin, there's no disagreement about. And it's touching Meiser Sheni that there's no debate about. That there's no debate about. Vahanagiyahi, in our case, is not a case where the eater is Tameh. It's a case where the person who's touching it is Tameh. How in the world did you get that? Midiksani ne'echalin biyadayim mesoavos. It didn't say you eat it with your hands being Tameh. It says it is eaten. It is consumed with Tameh hands. Rashi explains, midiksani ne'echalin, velokatani ochlin mishayadav misoavos. Doesn't say you eat it with tamei hands. Dineidok mina hayatz adam lo yochlam. Such that we would have deduced and said, if blood emerged, then he may not eat it, lo yochlim. Ela ne'echalin la'acherim al yidei mishayadav misoavos. But it would be eaten by others. It would be eaten via somebody whose hands are tamei. So our case is, as the Gemara says, milo askinan de kasafi lechavrei. We are talking about where somebody else gives it to him, and the somebody else as far as the chachamim are concerned, when the chachamim say if your hands are tamei, you can't have meiser. Their statement is regarding eating it. That's where the Chachamim said you can't. The Chachamim said you can't eat if your hands are tameh, but touching it, if your hands are tameh, they would be just fine with. And therefore, I'm back to square one. I still want to know why it is that our Mishnah said that if your hands are tameh, as we took to be shneos derabanan, you're not able to not be able, depending on whether there was blood. Why is it that I'm concerned about communicating tumah to the meat? Ella Amara Papa. This Gemara flies. All the people who were writing and looking at their watches 5 minutes ago when I was going on and on about the first part didn't realize. This Gemara is going to fly. Ella Amara Papa. Rather, Rav Papa says, that's not necessarily a good thing, by the way. Hacha biyadayim tchilos askinan. His answer is, you're right. You're 100% right. Number one, we're dealing with chulin. And number two, if this were Meiser Sheni, we wouldn't have an issue. And therefore, the tumah is not, that's not it. The difference is on the hands side of things. It's not on what the meat is. The meat is chulin. We accept that. However, the hands are tchilos. The hands are first-level tameh entities. Elamer, papa hacha biyadayim tchilos askinon. You're talking about hands that are rishon l'tumah. They are first-level. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he following the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, disanya, as the Braisa says, ein yadayim tchilos l'chulin. The Tanakhama says there is no such thing as hands being considered tchilos, first level for tumah. Meaning, for example, Rashi says you put your hands into a house that had saras. Okay, which, you know, the Gemara said, according to most Tanoim, never happened. But you did it anyway. So the hands now become rishon. So he says, the Tanakhama's view is, they're not called Rishon for our purposes, for Chulin. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Yadayim Tchilos L'Chulin U'Shniyos L'Truma. He says, yes, they are. They are Rishon, such that they will contaminate Chulin, and for Truma, they could even be Shniyos and contaminate Truma. That's separate. So, end of quote. So the point for us is that indeed, these will be Tchilos. So which Gemara asks, Tchilos L'Chulin and L'Truma Lo, you make it sound like they're not Tchilos as far as Truma. I put my hands into a house with Saras, now my hands are Tchilos as far as Chulin is concerned, but they're only considered Shniyos as far as Truma is concerned. Is that what you mean? No, lo. That's not what we're saying. Ha'chei ka'amar, this is what we're saying. Tchilos af l'chulin. They are Tchilos even for Chulin, such that they will mess up Chulin, not only Truma, and Shniyos is l'truma in the Chulin lo. Shniyos, they'll be Shniyos only for Truma, not for Chulin. So our third answer is that it's where your hands are considered tchilos, and they affect chulin. How did your hands become tchilos? Take a look at the next piece in the Gemara. Umi ika yadayim tchilos. Is there ever a case where hands can become tchilos? In, yeah, absolutely. Disanya, or it should really say disnan. It's a Mishnah in Yadayin. Hichnis yadav labayis hamenuga, the case that we just gave, as Rashi had quoted it. You put your hands into a house with saras. Yadav tchilos divar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, the hands are now rishon. V'chacham omrim yadav shnios. And the chacham say, no, your hands are shnios. So that's how they became a rishon. To which the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. Dekulei alma bia b'miktsas lo shma bia. Everybody agrees that entering the house in part does not mean you enter the house entirely. We don't say tum is automatically contracted by the entire body when you enter partially.
Or through a door,
yeah. The debate here is, what about saying that once your hands entered, therefore it's like your whole body entered, because otherwise you may enter with your whole body anyway and not realize it. One says your hands are like the whole body. And the other one says, no, they're like normal hands. So in other words, hands only, when it's hand-specific tumah, it's normally shnios. Is normally level 2. The concern is here, maybe we'll call it Rishon, because we're concerned, otherwise you're going to go in with your whole body and not realize it. Well, why don't I just say then, that it should be like Rabbi Akiva, who says in fact that the hands are Tchilos? Not necessarily, because Dilma Kikam, Rabbi Akiva, Hanimili, Betruma, Vekachim, Dachamiri. Maybe Rabbi Akiva said that only if you're dealing with Truma and Kachim, which are strict, Avalachulin, Shnios, Havion. But as far as Chulin, they are considered Shnios. So that's the argument you could bring, so don't necessarily say that it's Rabbi Akiva talking, because we said our case has to be Chulin, because we mentioned Chaya and all of that. Correct. Why didn't you present it as Rabbi Akiva? Why did you present it as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Why did you not say that it's simply Rabbi Akiva? Correct. It's not limited to the possibility that it's Rabbi Akiva. As I wrote, I think I have it here on the sheet. Like Rabbi Akiva, who said hands can become Rishon, but he may only have said that for Kachim. To which the Gemara then says, well, wait a minute. Why not adopt Rabbi Akiva? Why don't I say that the hands are second level? Because in fact, I do have a view of Rabbi Akiva that regarding Chulin, second level can generate third level. So, our first answer was it's Kachim. We threw that out. Our second answer was it's Meister Sheni. We said, well, that's limited also. So we said maybe the hands are Tchilos, not Shnios, within Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who said that Tchilos can affect Chulin. That was an acceptable answer, but it was limited. It was only Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So why not say that it's Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva believes that level two hands can affect Chulin to turn it into a Shlishi. How do I know that? Disnan, Mishnah says, Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva, one of the drashos that took place when Rabbi Gamliel was taken out and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was put in to head the base medrash. So that day, Darash Rabbi Akiva taught, V'chol klicheres ha-sheyipol me'em el tocho, da-da-da, kol shabbos ocho, yitma. That's the pasuk. If a sheretz falls into the klicheres, into the pottery, anything that goes in will be tamei. So tamei lo namar, it doesn't say tamei, ela yitma, it's written yitma, which we're reading as yitamei. Letame acherim. It'll make other things tame. Limit al kikar sheni shu osa shlishi v'chulin. That teaches that a sheni can make chulin into a shlishi. Azay state Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. That second level can make a third level, and therefore that's what you should say. Why was our Mishnah concerned about is there dam or is there no dam? How is it your hands are going to communicate so much of the meat anyway? The answer is it's within the view of Rabbi Akiva, who says that a second can make a third.
What's the second level? Itself that's a
Rishon? You're asking about the Kli Cheres case.
Yeah.
The Sheres itself made the Kli into a Sheni. Now something else goes into.
It's the Kli that's a Sheni, and so other food that's inside it becomes a Shishi from the Kli. It's not food, other food inside the Kli.
Yeah.
No, I think it's other food that would then pass over.
Take a look at Rashi, Azay Shteh Beferish. Rashi says, if you see the seventh wide line, the middle of the line, Sheretz Shenafa Lavira Tanur Vaharehu Rishon. Okay? Vatanur metame mashe besocho vahavi sheni. The tanur itself is the sheni. Uksiv yitma mashme yitame alma avichlishi. You see it can make a third level from whatever's in it. The sheretz is the rishon.
Okay.
The tanur is the sheni. And then you have the shlishi. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a misread. That's what Harold was trying to bring out. I'm sorry. The tanur is the rishon. Whatever is in it is a sheni. And we say regarding whatever is in it, yitma l'tamei acherim, to generate a shlishi. Thank you. That's the idea. So the Gemara's answer for why we don't say it's Rabbi Akiva is Dilma Hanimili b'tuma de'oraisa. Maybe he only said that in the Sheretz case, right? You're dealing with biblical tuma, like that pasuk. Avo b'derabanan lo, but not by your hands, which are only a derabanan. That's why I don't want to say that it's Rabbi Akiva talking. So far, our only satisfactory answer is Yadayim Tchilos within the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, using Rabbi Akiva's case for how they became Tchila in the first place. Now we offer another answer. Am Rabbi Elazar, Am Rabbi Hoshaya. We are about 10 lines up from the bottom. Hacha b'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh askinan. He says we're talking about chulin that was prepared to be on the level of kachim. That's what we're talking about, and therefore the hands are shnios, but they're able to make to disqualify it because shnios can do that to kachim. Udalok Rabbi Yoshua, unlike the view of Rabbi Yoshua, disanya, because the Braisa says Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha'ochel ochel rishon rishon. He says if you eat first level, become a Rishon. You eat Sheni, so you become a Sheni. Shlishi, you become a Shlishi. Exactly. You are what you eat. Rabbi Lez says, you are what you eat. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ha'ochel ochel Rishon, v'Sheni, Sheni. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. You eat a Rishon, you become a Sheni. You eat a Sheni, you become a Sheni. You eat a Shlishi, Sheni l'kodesh. You become second level. You move up as far as carbon is concerned. V'ein Sheni l'truma. There is no Sheni as far as truma, meaning to be a Shlishi now. The b'chulin shenasu al taras truma. We are dealing with the chulin being prepared on a truma level, and the chulin therefore became a shlishi. That's it. That's the buck stops here. There is no such thing to generate a shlishi with chulin shenasu al taras truma. He said, again, make sure that we're clear. What he's saying is there is no such thing as a sheni to contaminate a chulin that was made al taras truma. That's what we're saying. End of quote. So he says al taras truma in. Right? It can't generate a shlishi if you're dealing with chulin that was made for taras truma. Al taras hakodesh lo. But not, that won't apply regarding taras hakodesh. Kasavar chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh les behu shlishi. Let me make sure that was clear, because I think I actually reversed it. What he's saying is, if you're dealing with a shlishi, we said sheni la kodesh, it'll make a second level regarding Kodesh. Vein sheni l'truma. It will not make a sheni as far as truma, meaning chulin that was prepared al taras truma. In other words, the shlishi will contaminate Kodesh, the shlishi will not contaminate truma, where you're dealing with your shlishi being chulin shenasu al taras truma. So the statement is, there is no such thing as the shlishi regarding chulin shenasu al taras Kodesh, but there is regarding chulin shenasu al taras truma. The chulin shenasu al taras truma could become a shlishi, it's just not going to make you any worse. I'm getting blank looks. The chulin shenasu al taras truma, chulin that was prepared on the level of truma, can become a shlishi, it just won't do anything worse to you.
It won't make you a
shlishi. If you're karban. But not if you're truma. It won't do anything to you otherwise.
To extend the ability of the tummy to truma, but not to Kodesh.
Correct.
Why is that? Because Kodesh don't know when it comes.
Because people are more careful regarding Kodesh. Yeah.
You only have to make the extension with regard to
truma. Correct. Correct. The whole thing is a gzera. So therefore, this will only be a concern if you're dealing with chulin shenasu al taras truma, then it can become that. Al taras hakodesh lo, not for taras hakodesh, kasavar chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh less behu shlishi. It doesn't become a shlishi. That's Rabbi Yeshua. But for us, it does. If we're not following Rabbi Yeshua, so maybe the reason why we cared, is there blood or is there no blood? Can you eat this with your hands that are shnios or not? Is because you're talking about chulin prepared on the level of Kodesh. That's one possibility. That was our fifth approach. It's unlike Rabbi Yeshua. Or, now that you know that, you can take the sixth answer, which is, velokma, why not say, top of the next amud, bechulin shenasu al taras truma. We're talking about chulin that was prepared on the truma level. Right? And then Rabbi Yeshua. Then it's even Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua says there is such a thing as shlishi if you're dealing with chulin shenasu al taras truma, to which the Gemara answers, yeah, but you forgot our case. Lo sakadai dechtum think that tekatani basar. Our case was meat, right? How do you have meat prepared al taras truma? Deba truma basar mi'ika. There is no such thing as truma meat, right? Therefore, you don't have meat prepared al taras truma. Elamai, then what are you talking about? Bekudshim? Wait a minute, you wanted to give in your previous answer that it's not Asal Taras HaKodesh. Chaya bekudshim Ika. There is no such thing as a chaya that's kudshim. Yeah, but basar michlaf. People get confused between meat and meat. They might confuse cow meat for chaya meat. Yeah, buffalo, whatever. Basar beperi lo machlif. People don't confuse meat for produce. All those veggie burgers, no one gets confused. They know full well what those are. You're not going to confuse meat for produce. And therefore, it's acceptable to give that as my fifth answer, that it's chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. You're not going to say it's meat that was nasu al taras truma. That answer you're not going to give. So again, just to sum up that last segment. First, we had our Avram and Achai discussion that we did to death, so to speak. But then the second piece we rushed through a little bit. We said blood the shchita. If you engineer that, the meat does not become hoshul lekabel tuma. And we asked, well, why would it become tame anyway? We said it's not that it's kachim. It could be that it was purchased as Meister Sheni according to the view that Meister Sheni can become Tamei. It could be that it's according to the view that Sheni makes a Shlishi Bechulin. It could be that it's Yadayim Tchilos and that rendered it as Shnios. And it could be it's Chulin Shnasu Ataras HaKodesh. Those are the ways in which it could have become Tamei. And then Ula is going to present a seventh answer, and that'll take you all the way over on Tamei.